This morning, thank you for your glories revealed in creation. Thank you for this beautiful day. And we pray for the beauty of your word going deep into our hearts and our minds, that we would know your presence among us and that you would release your presence to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's wonderful to be back here. For those of you, I'm sure all of you remember us here in January. And yes, I can see from the blanks on your faces. So I was here with you in January and talking about the Luke's Gospel, Luke 10, sending people out in pairs. Jesus has the 72. He talks about the others. I'd made that witty comment about the Greek others meaning you. And then we went out in pairs. You prayed. You looked for the person of peace. And God turns up and helps us. Now, I wanted to go a bit further this morning. We're looking about receiving and releasing God's presence and looking as part of a series about the mission of grace, John McGinley's book, I believe some of you are studying, and looking at ways in which you can make an impact in your community. So it's really exciting to be back with you this morning. These two passages, in a sense, help us really go much deeper into the whole practice, the presence of God, and seeing him being able to use us in our daily lives. There is usually such a huge disconnect between what we do at 10:30 on a Sunday morning and what occurs during the rest of the week. Isn't that fair? I mean, that's reasonably fair. There is a disconnect, isn't it? We'd love it not to be, but there's a bit of a disconnect. And so this morning I want us to help to see how we might bridge some of that disconnect. How we might actually go and look to see some of the joy of God overflow into the rest of our lives, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's in our community, in these different ways. How could we become more, become stronger in our faith in Jesus so that it overflows? When I was at university, I went to a good, solid evangelical church. Anyone who knows their ecclesiology says, when I say a good, solid evangelical church, knows that I mean, and they weren't into any of that Holy Spirit stuff. So I was at one of those. But there's a disconnect started to occur, because I was having these most amazing experiences of the presence of God in my study, where I was at university, such that I couldn't get to sleep because the presence of God was so tangible and so real. And I didn't have a theology to make sense of it. And so I would do things like, thank you, God, for turning up, but would you mind toddling off now because I need to get to sleep because I've got an exam in the morning or whatever it was. And there was that sense in which I was having these amazing experiences of God, but I wasn't able to locate it and understand what God wanted to do. But the interesting thing then was that I started realizing that maybe God wanted me to share my faith. And most of us, you know, if we're real, we really would rather someone else do it, wouldn't we? You know, when God comes up in conversation, we mutter a bit, and then we gently try and move the conversation onto something safer. But I thought, well, actually, if God's God, and I kept praying that prayer that we pray in communion, you know, send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, and you think that must mean something, I say it every week, so surely, God, you're actually wanting me to do something. So I said, okay, God, I'll make you a deal. Always dangerous doing that, isn't it? Making a deal with God is probably one of the most dangerous things that you can do. Number one, he might actually agree to it, even though he's not obligated to. And number two, there's always that sense of, well, I have to actually do it. So I said, I will pray that somebody asks me about my faith without me having to raise it. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Because, I mean, no risk on my side. Somebody asked me. they're unlikely to, are they? I mean, let's be real. So I don't have to worry about that too much. So I started praying. So I pray this prayer. God, if someone asked me about my faith today, and this is at university, you know, we're all feeling awkward, socially awkward in the first year at university, I will share my faith, but I won't push it down the throat. So I pray this prayer. And somebody asked me about my faith that day. I thought, wow, that's incredible. So I was excited by that. So the second day, I did the same. That day, two different people asked me at two different occasions about my faith. I thought, wow, this is amazing. So third day, I did it a third time. Three people, separate occasions, asked me about my faith. Fourth day, four people. Five day, fifth people. Sixth day, six people, all at the same time. At this point, I freak out and stop praying the prayer. And nobody asked me the next day. You see, there's this thing within us that if we don't have a theology about receiving and giving, if we don't have an idea of this, the vine and our fruitfulness within it, of that kind of resting in God and then becoming fruitful, we miss so much of what God would love us to do and be. And if I had been rooted in a place that I had shared that and people said, wow, that's amazing, I'll pray with you, I'll walk with you, I'll be with you when you do that, I might still be this day doing that. In fact, I did start praying the prayer in a different sense about the role as role of Dean of Fresh Expressions of the Diocese of Southwark. So I'm involved in encouraging, supporting new church plants, new ways of being church in the diocese. So I started praying, Lord, introduce me to people today that I need to talk to about doing that sort of thing. And what's really interesting is that God seems to be answering that prayer. And so I'm starting to have occasions in which, you know, I was on the train station. I saw a fellow vicar down the platform who I vaguely thought I recognised. I wasn't in my dog collar, so I could have kept my head down, but I thought I ought to go and say hi. So I went up and spoke to her, and it turned out that she was actually a key person I needed to talk to about starting new Fresh Expressions of the Church in the South Diocese. You see, God is involved in mission. He wants to reach out with his love and his grace to those around us. And he asked us to be part of that. It's as simple as that, and as difficult as that. The simple part is, we know. The difficult part is, how do I do it? How do I do it? So, this is where John 15 comes in, and the picture of the vine. And so Jesus says, I am the vine. And the idea here is that we abide in Jesus. We worship, so we come on a Sunday. But Sunday isn't the object. Sunday is about abiding in the vine so that we can do something. You know, if we see Sundays as, well, I'm going to get to church, I'm going to go to the best happy-clappy church and get the busiest, buzziest whatever, then immediately you start falling into the trap of, it's all about the worship experience. Does that make sense? So actually, it's not about the worship experience. God can quite happily be worshipped in a Book of Common Prayer service. Yesterday, I was at the cathedral in the ordination, and we did lots of things that I just think, ooh, that's interesting, if you know what I mean by the English word of interesting. But that's okay, because it's not about that, it's not about me, it's about God. And so I'm here to worship God. And whether I kind of think, oh, I like that song or not that song, is irrelevant. I was a minister for 14 years at Springfield Church up the road in Wallington. And we had one guy one morning, the words weren't changing on the overhead. And he heard lots of bang and clatter and, you know, like stamping of the mouse. And so I went over and said, is there a problem? Is there a technical problem with the thing? He said, no, I just don't like the songs. He wasn't changing the words on the projector because he didn't like the songs. I'm sorry, it's not about you, it's about God. You know? It's fascinating. So we abide in God. The day of rest, our Sabbath rest, is that we don't rush through the week to get to our Sabbath rest. We use the Sabbath rest to allow ourselves to be encouraged and fed in order that we can face the week. We don't struggle through the week to get to the end of it. We top ourselves up in our day of rest in order that we can do God's work in our workplace, in our home, and in our community. When I was a little bit younger, before I was ordained, I was in the computer industry, and I used to install, well, I did lots of things, but I was in the computer industry, and we, as part of a company that sold computer systems to banks, you know, all these trading room floors. And my first project was to install a system into a Japanese bank, and it was just the worst time frame, the worst everything. And I found myself on my knees in prayer every morning because I knew that without God, I could not do this. And I got through it, and it went amazingly well. And that was great. So the next project I came up against, I got to the point from being dependent on God, filling myself up with God to face all that I was, to thinking, I'm a really good project manager. I don't need God. I can do this on my own. That was the worst experience in my life. I mean, it was awful. I mean, it was beyond awful. I had the client screaming at me and shouting at me. The system went live as my eldest daughter was born. And the first day of my week off, I spent 4 hours on the phone. By the end of the week, I was in for 21 hours with 4 hours rest. Well, 4 hours rest. I didn't have 4 hours rest. I came back at about, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning to find Angie with the baby at the top of the stairs, take Lydia, our eldest, onto my stomach to get her to sleep again, stayed at home an hour and then drove back in. It was one of those sorts of times. And it was just horrendous because I hadn't rested in God. I hadn't put my focus on allowing God to influence everything in my life. I kept him in the box. And if we want to keep God in a box, he will stay in the box and he'll use other people to do his will. Last time I was here, I remember I shared with you about the statistics for the Labour Party membership versus the Church of England. Do you remember? Some of you remember that? That the Church, you know, Labour Party being the biggest political party in Western Europe, which is bigger, Labour Party membership or the number of people worshipping the Church of England Church on a Sunday morning. And of course, I said Church of England Church by a country mile was larger. We forget that so often, that God has put so many of us in place. And we are called, therefore, to build out of his glorious strength to share with others his presence. One of the things that my wife and I, when we were at Springfield, used to love to do was to pray for people, especially those who were ill or sick. And we found that if we just turned up unprepared and prayed for people, not a lot happened because we weren't really expectant. You know, if you expect little, you will always receive what you've expected, you know, that sort of thing. And we expect so little, so much of the time. So we used to get to the point where we go and say, okay, we're going to pray and we're going to worship for at least half an hour before we go and see the person we're going to pray for. We wouldn't take people with us who were going to pray along the lines of, Lord, if it be your will, or use the word just. My most hated word in the English language is just. Just, Lord, would you just. You know, not a lot of faith there, is there? So we would try and only go with people that we felt would actually be able to pray, honestly and openly, God, bring your healing. And by resting in God first, we discerned whether we should be praying for healing or not. And sometimes it was a not. But very often it would be praying yes for healing. So we would go in, and there was a lady, I remember, who was a deputy head of a school. Her back was really, you know, she was off work because of her back. We came in and prayed for her, and she said that the pain, it went from all over her back to a little point and then going. There was a a guy I prayed for when I was a curate who had had a laser shot in his eye, and he was told that he was permanently damaged in that eye. It was permanently streaming. And again, we prayed for him, and he was healed. And he went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, "It's a miracle. You're absolutely okay." Or there was a friend of my daughter, and she was at Soul Survivor. She hadn't seen her much. She had known her when she was younger. They'd kind of gone different ways. You know, we live in different parts of the country. And she saw her, and she felt God say, "Go and pray for her." Now, she had a back brace. She had a deformed spine. She was in agony all the time. And she knew that everyone had been praying for this girl. And she said, "No, God, you must be joking. Everybody's prayed for her. I can't go and pray for her. Who am I that I could go and pray for her?" And she felt the prompt of God still carrying on. So she said, "Okay, God, this is the deal. Remember I said deals were bad?" Yeah, that's right. I'm going to close my eyes, and if I open them and she's in my line sight, I will go and offer prayer. So she closes her eyes, and of course, to make doubly certain, she turns around. Because, you know, in your vast space and they're right over there, you know, if you turn around, there's no way that they're going to go from there over to here, are they? So what happens? She does. And she opens her eyes and she's in front of her. And so she says, "May I pray for you?" Thinking, please say no. And she says, "Yes, okay." So she gets some other friends around and they pray for her. And exactly the same thing happens. The pain goes and her back straightens. And the doctor says, "This is miraculous. You're okay." You see, God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. As we abide in God, it's not so we just feel good about ourselves. It's to kick us out the door to enable us to have an impact on those around us. To be able to share and pray for people. Now, the real key to this is the... In a sense, I'd almost say this is the one thing. We try something and it fails and we give up. Isn't that what we normally do? We try something for a day or two. We try and read our Bibles for a day or two, and then you miss a morning and think, "Oh, well, I'm a failure. I'll give up. Woe is me. I can't do it. It's for other people." You know that sort of thing? So this is not about trying. It's about training. It's about training. And training means that you will fall and you will trip up and you will have things that go wrong, and you should expect that. That's part of training. If a toddler's learning to run or walk and they take their first 3 or 4 steps and then fall over, you don't say to them, "What a failure. What an absolute, you've only done 3 or 4 steps. You're 11 months and you can only do 3 or 4 steps. You know, what do you think you are?" You don't do that, do you? You go, "Wow." You go and ring up everybody you can think of who may be even vaguely interested, and even those that aren't interested. And you go and tell them, they've gone and walked. Because you're excited. You don't focus on the tripping up and the falling down. You focus on the walking. That's what you do. You focus on the walking. So when we start actually trying to follow God and see what he's up and doing, we focus on what he's doing. And so my suggestion for you, for what it's worth, and I'm going to get those of you who'd like to try this out the front, so I'm warning you now to think whether you want to take the risk or not. And by the way, if you really don't want to take the risk, please don't come out. Because remember that bargain with God thing? It is an awesome thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I mean that in the nicest way, not in a vengeful way. But, you know, look, I ended up as a vicar. You really don't want this. Really. So if this is for you, I'll want you to come out. But so the way I would suggest is that each day you commit to pray, "God, I want to be involved in your work today. Show me what you're up to and help me to join in." Okay? So that's the, if you were a long distance runner, if you were doing the marathon and you were at the end ready for your marathon, you would do that every day without a problem. Okay? But we're human. we fail. So that is all right. So if you pray the prayer and then you see an opportunity during the week, helping an old lady across the road, sharing your faith with someone, and you duck it, that's a toddler falling over. That's not failure, because you've noticed it. You've noticed God at work, and God at work is so often out of the corner of our eyes that we see God at work. It's me going up to that vicar on the platform and realizing that actually that was a God-appointed conversation. But if I hadn't gone up to her, I'd have missed out something. But it's not the end of the world. God's still God, you know? You're still you. You're still beloved by God. So when we pray this prayer, God, help me today and use me, whether it's at home, whether it's at work, whether it's in your community, you look out for the opportunities and you would be amazed at what they come and happen. And I want you to come back and tell your wardens, Martin and James, next week. And if there's any good ones, get them up the front and share them to encourage les autres. Pour encourager les autres. So that's the deal for you. If you want to see a supernatural God at work in your lives, I'm going to ask you in a minute to come up and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray a simple prayer. God used you this week. Your commitment is to pray once a day for that. It can be short. That's your commitment. If you are prepared to commit to do that, and some of you will have the most amazing things this week will happen because you're ready for it. And some of you will notice that you should be doing some things and you miss the chance, and that's okay. That's absolutely fine, because God will strengthen you, and one day you will run the marathon. But you've got to start where you are. You've got to start letting God in. Does that make sense? Now, in the other passage that I haven't used, because we're good biblical people, 1 Corinthians 12, of course, is about the gifts of the Spirit. And in English, we don't have a you that is personal and a you that is corporate. We just have you, don't we? And in this idea in 1 Corinthians 12, these are corporate gifts for the church. The gifts of the Spirit may be individually exercised, but they are for the church. So it may be that during this week, you will suddenly have a picture or a word for someone. You might be going along and think, oh, that's a funny thought to have for them. And you may be brave enough to use it. Or you might feel, I really feel called, I should be praying for that person for their healing. And so you do it. It might be that you do it on your own and you feel you can't, you're too embarrassed yet. But tell someone that you had that thought, because it's training, not trying. And this is part of the training, using the gifts of the Spirit, because it says, where is it? To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each and every one of us is offered the Spirit to help us grow one another and the church. If we use it just for ourselves, we're misusing the gift that God has given us. When we use it to give away and to give to others, that is how God expects us to use the gifts of the Spirit. So whether it's speaking in tongues, whether it's praying for people for healing, whether it's a picture or a word of knowledge, all these are from the same Spirit, and all these build us up. Now, I rather think I've probably gone long enough. I could do another couple of hours, but I think you all want your lunches and things like that. So I am going to ask you, if you want to join in this week on being released, in experiencing God's presence and releasing it out to the world, then I'd like you in a moment, we're going to all stand, I'm going to pray a prayer, then I'm going to ask you to come forward. And those on prayer ministry, even if you're not normally on there, you might want to come down this morning, then we'd love to pray that prayer with you, that God would use you this week, that you would see through God's eyes what God is up to, and try and join in. Is that all right? Let's stand. And we'd like the band to come out. Great, thank you. Father, we thank you that you have called us, that you have asked us to be fruitful, that you've asked us to abide in you, that you prune us at the right time, in the right places, so that we can be more fruitful. And we pray this morning, Lord, for all these wonderful people that you've called here at Christ Church to be your children, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would guide them and lead them this week, that you would encourage them and support them in their faith, and that you would release them to see your glory and your kingdom at work in and around them. Lord, fill their hearts. Help them to be like the disciples in Luke 10, coming back, having seen you at work, healing, bringing your peace into the world. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you, all those who would like to pray each day this week and have a go,